You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Ever wonder why it seems so hard to get beyond a few condos or duplexes? In this episode, we break down what it really takes to scale beyond six doors in Quebec, financing, human and legal traps, and the mindset shifts you'll need to go through to go from mom and pop zone to serious portfolio. You won't hear this from the majority of brokers or at most real estate meetups.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fans, I have exciting news to share with you. Our monthly in-person networking events are back. If you're in the Montreal area, and even if you're not, go ahead and grab a ticket for our next event at equitybuildersclub.com/events. I would love to see you out. Hey, real estate fan. So I've got an interesting episode for us today, and I was kind of inspired to do this when I recently attended the Rubicon Real Estate Conference in St. Louis with my friend Destin Heiner and a whole bunch of other American investors. And so really, being one of the lone Canadians at the conference, I kind of had this like interesting realization when I was talking to like a bunch of the Americans that operate down there. And a lot of them would have these portfolios of like 50 single family homes or 300 single family homes. And it just seemed very easy for them to be able to scale in that way without ever getting into the multifamily game. And so, you know, as I was going around the conference and kind of thinking about how is it that in the United States, it seems to be so easy to scale these portfolios and portfolios of smaller assets. And, you know, really sitting down and thinking like, why is it that it's so difficult? Like in Canada, we just meet very few investors who have been able to scale out of what we call mom and pop, right? So like, typically, when you meet somebody who's a real estate investor, the vast majority of people, and maybe this is actually you who's listening to this episode, end up being people who own a couple of condos or who manage to buy a triplex and a duplex. And now you're kind of tapped out of personal borrowing capacity. And so it becomes really difficult to scale beyond that level. And so like, how does this happen? How is it that in the US you have investors who are able to own like 50, 100, 200, 300 single family homes? And for us, it's impossible to get beyond a couple of duplexes. So there are a number of barriers that you need to get through in order to be able to scale. But I would say that like one of the main differences between investing in Canada and investing in the US, and this is where a lot of us Canadians get tripped up, because a lot of the material that we consume is actually geared to the American investor. And so a lot of the information really gives us a false sense of what you need to do to be able to scale beyond those few residential properties. And the most conventional explanation of this is just about price points. And so when you talk to people who are out there in that mom and pop space in Canada, and they, you know, end up discussing what's the difference between the US, they'll be like, yeah, well, you know, like the average duplex in Montreal costs like $700,000. And, you know, the Americans who are buying up single family homes in the $50,000 US range, like, because those price points are so different, it just means that they can scale and we can't. So this isn't totally false, because for sure, when you're acquiring an asset for $100,000 versus $700,000, there is an implication in terms of the down payment amount that you need, and also in terms of what this means for financing. But that is actually not the real meat of where people get stuck. And I want to just initially start by demystifying this so that you can have a better idea of what really makes some of those American stories just not possible for us here in Canada, and so that you can understand what you need to do if you're stuck in that mom and pop zone. So for sure, the down payment amounts that you need are different, but the real problem lies in how financing works. And so Americans are able to do what's called a debt service ratio mortgage on a portfolio of residential properties. And so in the US, much like in Canada, four doors and less is still considered to be a residential property. And so those properties will be, you know, financed or looked at in one particular way. And over that amount of doors, they will be looked at in a different way. But the difference in the United States is that once you are renting those properties, even down to a single family home, you will be able to qualify for a debt service ratio mortgage. And so that means that the institution or whoever is doing the financing of that asset is going to look at the capacity of that asset to generate income. So they're going to evaluate the economic value of that asset, and then they're going to lend you based on the economic value of the asset. Now, what I will say to the point of $50,000 houses versus $700,000 duplexes is that the cash flow on those assets is also super different. And if you are purchasing around like a 10 GRM, which means that the asset is basically able to pay for itself, if someone is doing a debt service analysis, if a bank is looking at the capacity of that asset to completely pay for itself without you putting any money in from your own pocket, in the United States, you will be able to close on that property with relatively small down payment amount just because it has positive cash flow. And here is where there is kind of another difference in how the American and Canadian markets function. Because in Canada, our real estate prices are relatively higher compared to the rent amounts that we can charge. It means that the economic value of our assets are just lower than a lot of the values that there are in the American markets where cash flow is easier to come by. And so the real comparison you would have to make from an investment point of view is if you're investing in Toronto or Montreal or Quebec City or Trois-Rivières, you'd actually be comparing that to the kind of cash flow you could get in a larger city like New York or California in LA or San Diego or something like that. And it's very difficult to find assets that cash flow in that area. And so the economic value of those assets is going to be super low. So from the multifamily perspective, if you're comparing being able to purchase a multifamily asset in a bigger market in Canada, you will encounter that economic value problem. But we're not even there yet, because the real barrier to being able to scale a residential portfolio in Canada has to do with the way that those assets are financed. And so the truth is that on four doors or less, that is qualified as what's considered a residential purchase in Canada. So on those kind of purchases, yes, you will have an inferior down payment amount to the point where you could buy a condo or a duplex with just 5% down. So that's really like a pretty low down payment amount. But then the problem happens because those debts, the way in which the banks lend on those assets is always going to look at your personal debt ratio. And so what happens is that as you begin to scale, you are too leveraged for a conventional bank to want to deal with you and lend you any more money. And the way that this works also is that you have to realize that in that residential lending space, the lenders are usually not taking 100% of the rental income. And so if you were doing an analysis that does really fully debt service ratio, like what you would be doing if you are buying a single family home in the US with a debt service mortgage, then they would just be looking at the full amount of the rent and then subtracting, everything that gets to the net operating income, and then they would lend on that income. However, in Canada, when things are being financed in that asset class, so the 1 to 4 doors range, the banks will always discount the amount of rent. And this discounting can actually be huge. Like there are some lenders that will discount 50% of that rental income. So if, for example, you are looking at a fourplex that generates, let's say just, to make it easy, $4,000 a month, the bank will only take $2,000 of that and add it to your income. And so you can see that for the bank to qualify you on a residential mortgage in Canada, it becomes virtually impossible, no matter how high your personal income is, even if you're, a doctor or a lawyer or an extremely high income earner, even if you're declaring $300,000 in personal income every year, eventually, because of that process by which the banks are not lending on the debt service possibility of the building, you're going to eventually run out of borrowing capacity. And so this is why, if you want to really be able to scale a real estate portfolio beyond those couple of assets, that duplex, triplex, or those four condos, you're going to have to learn how to function in the multifamily game. So the five doors $100,000 and more, where we have access in Canada to those debt service ratio mortgages. And so I'm sorry for, you know, local investors here in and around Montreal and Quebec. If you want to be able to try to do that 300 door single family home accumulation portfolio, you really have two choices. You're going to have to look south of the border, in which case some of those options are going to be available to you for scaling that residential portfolio. Or if you are located in Canada, beyond a certain amount, so usually it tends to be two or three residential properties, it then becomes necessary to learn that multifamily game and to understand how to acquire those five doors and more assets. And so once intellectually you've made this understanding that like it's pointless to try to scale beyond two or three residential properties and that you really have to learn the new game, you are then ready to move up to the next level in the video game, in which there are different challenges. So usually when this light goes on for people, they get super excited and they're like, oh, cool. So like I can buy a building and they're not going to look at my debt ratios anymore. And so like super cool, like where do I start? But what ends up happening then is that because the economic values currently in most of our markets in Quebec are out of whack with sale prices, then it's the down payment amount that becomes prohibitive. And so just so that you can really understand this, I'm going to like give you a little bit of numbers so that you can really get a feel for it. So let's say I'm looking at $1 million six unit building, just to make, you know, things realistic and have a round number. If I was, let's say I have amazing debt ratios, well, then I'm able to buy that property with 80% financing. So I have to put 20% down. That's still $200,000. So like very difficult, even on a residential purchase at that amount, because some banks, so for example, CIBC or Desjardins, will do six units at on the personal level, but you still have to put down 20%, you know, in order to acquire those properties. And so like, that means that instead of that 5% that you have to put down on a duplex, which, you know, might be possible in terms of savings, now all of a sudden you have to have $200,000 to position yourself on that asset. And then if we take that from a debt service ratio perspective, very often the economic value of those assets, because the rents will be relatively low, it means that the economic value of those assets is actually going to be below $1 million. And so that means that if, for example, the property is only worth $700,000 from a debt service ratio perspective, it means that you have to put that $300,000 out of pocket and then come up with another 15% of the $700K. So what really happens is that those down payment amounts become prohibitive, and that it's some mix of not understanding the fact that working in the multifamily space has different financing criteria, and that what you need to hack is then how can I get access to that huge amount of capital that I need to plug into a deal in order to get into the multifamily space. And typically, it's the first two purchases of that nature that are really difficult, because how do you come up with that? How do you raise that $200,000 or $300,000 to be able to do that first multifamily deal that then allows you to get some of that leverage off your personal balance sheet? So I'll tell you really quickly the way that people do this. And so the first one is going to be that perhaps they have in the past bought those smaller residential assets. So maybe they have a duplex, a triplex, a fourplex that they bought with their own personal debt ratios. And then what's happened over time is that the value of those assets has gone up. And so it's possible that if you, let's say, purchased that triplex 2 or 3 years ago, it's possible that that asset has $200,000 or $300,000 worth of equity in it that you could then potentially refinance and use as a down payment for that larger sixplex. And then what you're able to do is to optimize the building, so to increase the revenues and decrease the expenses, and then pull the trigger on refinancing that in a relatively short time period if you have the strategy and the know-how to do that. And that then is how professional investors in Quebec are able to scale. The other possibility for people who perhaps don't have access to that big chunk of capital in a residential either home or, you know, fourplex that they have, a way to leapfrog that problem then becomes through joint ventures or partnerships. And then what I typically see on the ground is that there are groups of people. So let's say each one of them has $80,000 or $100,000. You might get a group of two or three investors who get together to close on that bigger multifamily asset. So they will buy together, go in together, pool their money in common, and in that way be able to raise that amount of money to close on the property. Or else you get more of a operator and cash partner relationship where you have an operator who operates the deal for somebody who is really more of a passive investor. And so in really how to do this in a safe manner and how to scale in that way is really what we focus on teaching in our Equity Builders Club meetups and through our mentorship system. So that's really like how to put those deals together safely and then be able to scale your portfolio. That's really what we do with the Equity Builders Club. And so that is really probably the main problem. If you want to talk about, you know, the video game, if you want to talk about investing as like beating the next level of the video game, what it takes to get out of that residential mom and pop sphere and to move into the professional investor category to be able to really scale your portfolio where there is no glass ceiling is it really takes understanding that that financing is different and then finding out how you're going to have access to that, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 of a chunk of initial capital to get the first deal rolling. So that's really, you know, the main hurdle that people encounter in the scaling of a real estate portfolio in Quebec. But I do also just want to talk briefly about the other more human aspects. So a little bit of network and a little bit of mindset and some of those transitions that you need to start doing if you are looking at scaling your portfolio beyond the mom and pop space. And so one of the things that I've been able to see through, you know, running networking groups over the years and now through the Equity Builders community is that really that human network. And so that social fabric that surrounds what you're trying to do is just so important. And I swear, every single month, we have people coming out of the woodwork who have been trying to grow their real estate portfolio for 10 years out of their basement. You know, I was guilty of this and I got stuck for 10 years with just 3 residential triplexes for 10 years because I couldn't figure this out. And the main catalyst that helped me scale that was really just being around other investors who had made that transition to being professional and seeing what it was that they did. Of course, what accompanies that is also the new level of professional relationships that you would then build up by being a part of that network. Because the reality is that everybody who has served you to buy that one or two residential assets, whether it is your building inspector, your mortgage broker, your real estate broker, your banker, all of those people are now of no use to you when you start playing in the multifamily game, because maybe you don't know this, but even the licenses that those people have or the insurance amounts are insufficient to cover larger assets. And so it means that, you know, your great network that you built to buy those 2 residential properties is no longer the appropriate group of professionals that you need in order to be able to scale beyond that mom and pop phase. And so that can be a little bit intimidating. It can also be a problem because there's kind of this effect of the crabs in the barrel, where when one crab tries to escape, the other crabs pull them back down. And it's a bit sad to say, but if you are served by those residential professionals, whether it's your banker, your mortgage broker, your real estate broker, and they have not hacked how to transition out of that mom and pop zone, basically because they are limited in their own knowledge, they're going to trap you at that level of knowledge and perhaps not allow you to scale because they'll just continue advising you to try to acquire that next residential asset. And you might have to wait 5 years to do that in order for your debt ratios to be high enough. And so ultimately, this whole ecosystem then ends up trapping you at your current level of what you're doing. So being aware that really that professional network around you and those peers around you, like that is one of the main levers that you can use to help you transition out of that mom and pop phase. And so, you know, for those of you who are in and around Montreal, I really want to invite you to our next Equity Builders Club meetup event so that you can come and see our community and really rub shoulders with other people who have gone through that transition process, because that's a key ingredient in being able to scale what you're trying to do beyond the mom and pop zone. And then I would be remiss if I did not end this segment with maybe something that applies just as well to scaling a business as it does to scaling a real estate portfolio. And this has to do with our tendency, you know, as investors and as entrepreneurs, where we want to control, you know, exactly what our organization is doing. We want to have our hands in every single part of the process. And perhaps we also have a little bit of fear that is associated to the delegation process. Because ultimately, if you want to scale anything, whether it's a real estate portfolio or a business, you have no choice at a certain time to delegate out some of the lower value tasks that take up a lot of your time, whether that happens to be mopping the floors in your building, cutting the grass, you know, doing some of that basic low-level bookkeeping, whatever it is, some of those lower value tasks really need to be delegated out probably faster than a lot of us are comfortable doing it. And there are, you know, according to a lot of business coaching information, there are really two things that prevent people going through this delegation process. And either you will see yourself fitting into one of these categories or the other. So the first one is, you know, the perfectionist who is just concerned that nobody else can do things quite as well or to your satisfaction. And so those people who want to, you know, really control the real world tangibles of how a specific task is done will have trouble delegating just because they have trouble trusting the fact that somebody else will do it to their satisfaction. And to this, I will just give you a little bit of reflection, which is that even if something's done to the 80% level and not to, let's say, the 100% level that you could do it, at a certain point, that is going to become the bottleneck on your ability to scale, because there's no way that the CEO of McDonald's is mopping the floors and making the burgers. That person or whatever successful business you see, the CEO of that business is not taking care of some of those smaller tasks. And it's no different when you're trying to scale a real estate portfolio. Eventually, you're going to have to become confident with the fact that someone else has to be doing that work for you. So that's the first real hurdle that people meet when it comes to delegation. The second one is really a financial struggle. And, you know, I pride myself on not being a perfectionist. So that trust issue really was not anything that I ever encountered. But I would say what was more insidious and even difficult for myself to identify was the fear aspect that gets associated with hiring out from getting some of those tasks done and delegating. And so if, you know, you are used to seeing a certain amount of money in your bank account, or if you are unsure about your future projections, sometimes it can be a bit difficult financially to make that commitment to onboard staff members and to delegate stuff out, because you might end up being worried that perhaps you have insufficient cash flow or insufficient financial resources to take on that staff that is going to help you scale. And so to this, I would say that in the same way as we have to overcome fear when it comes to closing on that property, and I'm sure anybody who is listening to this, perhaps you who are listening to this, I'm sure that the first property that you closed on or the first time you thought about making an offer on a property, you felt a whole bunch of fear. And the same thing takes place when you talk about hiring staff or delegating something out. The fear can come either at the moment when you think about somebody else touching your precious business and their results ending up affecting your bottom line. But the other place where that fear can be hiding is the financial responsibility of paying that person on an ongoing basis. And I know that for myself, that's been really the biggest hurdle in terms of scaling what I do in my business, is just that fear of taking on a permanent financial commitment of staff. And so what I would encourage you to do, just as a thought experiment, is to see which one of those two categories do you fall into as far as where the fear is coming from when it comes to scaling. Because ultimately, once you manage to crack that code of getting beyond the residential game and into the multifamily game, and then once you're able to kind of, get over that network hurdle of where you're perhaps being served by professionals who are used to operating at a lower level of a game at which you're playing, the next thing is that then you have to face this fear that's associated with either the control or the financial aspect of delegation. And so one of the things that has really helps me visualize this is to really map it onto an athletic journey. So, you know, I have had the privilege of having an athletic life before I became full-time a real estate person. And so in going through the different levels of that athletic journey, there were moments at which I had to change gyms, or at which my previous coach was no longer the right one to bring me to the next level of my athletic success. I also had to, you know, learn and integrate different kind of training techniques and nutrition and all of this different kind of stuff. And so every single time you want to level up and compete in a higher level of championship, you kind of need to go through that audit of being like, well, my trainer who's I'm working with right now, who are the other athletes that they've worked with? Have they ever brought anyone to a national level in this particular sport or any other sport? Have they ever, you know, a conditioning coach? Have they ever worked with somebody who's competing at my level? And so like what you will notice is that as you're going up there, that you will have to go through various upgrades of your knowledge base, your network, and even your training partners, you know, because this is like another thing that I noticed as I was, you know, moving up in the levels of sport, that the training partners that I was able to use or work with when I was competing at the local level were insufficient when I wanted to start training at that national or that world level in the sports that I was doing. And so like really having a look at that in the same way that you would an athletic path in the real estate field becomes just a way to make it super clear. And so like if you're thinking about, you know, the broker that you're working with, whether it's from a mortgage or a real estate perspective, have they really accompanied other investors who've managed to scale beyond the duplex, triplex situation? Have they worked on some of those bigger deals? Because if they haven't, the reality is that perhaps you need to start looking for professionals who are able to accompany you through that next level up or that next jump that you want to take. So real estate fan, I hope that you've gained some insight into what it takes to scale a portfolio in Quebec and Canada. And if you feel like, you know, you are around somebody who's stuck in that duplex, triplex condo zone and you want to give them some insight and help them scale what they're doing to be able to move up to the next level, please go ahead and share this podcast episode with them so that they can profit from some of the knowledge that is contained in it. The second exciting thing is that we still have a few more coaching spots available in our next cohort. If you would like to have a little bit more help closing on that next property, please go ahead and fill out the contact form on equitybuildersclub.com and we would be happy to jump on a call and explain to you a little bit more about what we do.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.